Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Enjoy the rest of the day off. Thank you, sir.
Won't, because I'm going home to my family.
What a great dad.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, final hour here on a Monday edition of The Zone. We've been talking a lot of Chiefs football today. 41-31 winners last night over the Bucks. They get set a week from tonight against the Raiders at Arrowhead Stadium, hanging out at Blue Hills Country Club today for the Kids Golf Tournament, F-O-R-E, thekidskc.org, where you can go and check out the silent auction going on right now. Some awesome items available. You can figure out how you can donate as well if you want to help out in any way that you can. And also, they still have tickets for sale for tonight's dinner that all of the proceeds go to Children's Mercy Hospital with the Anxiety and Depression Clinic there at Children's Mercy. For the Kids, kc.org, F-O-R-E, the Kids, kc.org. We'll get Learn Funniest Best coming up later on this hour. Andy Reid, let's hear another clip from him meeting with the media today. Here is Andy Reid. Saran asked if Patrick Mahomes' ability allows him to hold some plays back until later in the season.
Yeah, I probably would say that, Saran. Although we did use a couple of them yesterday, and the couple that Scantling caught were somewhat that. One of them for sure was. It was a pump pass, and so you fake a screen and come out of it. You know, and he did a nice job with that too. So we're still able to use some things. The guys like that stuff. And, we just sit here as coaches and you kind of weigh out which ones you wanted to be successful at the same time. You can't, against a team like Tampa Bay, you can't waste a first or second down. Not against that crew. They're too good on third down. So you got to make sure that they fit into the program. But I tell you, going back to your original question, yes. I mean, you weigh that out when he's moving around and doing the things he does and the production he gets.
And then defensively, I mean, you guys had an historic day as far as shutting down the run and making Tampa one-dimensional. You're doing it without some key pieces, right? Willie's still suspended, Trent McDuffie out, Michael Dana out. I know you're not going to say, oh, this is the best defense I ever had or – you know, but is there a level of excitement that, you know, it's going to be one of your better ones, certainly here in Kansas City, that there's a lot more there for this defense that's doing some pretty special things?
Yeah, so I think, we need to keep growing there. I think the thing that makes me most excited is the influx of young guys that we've got, and those guys having an opportunity to grow and get better. And so you can see you can see if you guys keep working and do it day in and day out, you work, then you have a chance to be something special. But if you have to stay in that frame of mind. If you start getting caught up in all the outside noise, then you're going to plateau, and you can't do that. You can't do that in this league, or you get skunked. So, you know, we've just got to keep growing and young guys keep getting better.
So, yeah, I mean, one more week without McDuffie, a couple more weeks without Willie Gay, and we'll see when they can get Dana back. But they have not only played well, but they've played well while missing a couple of key pieces on this team. And if you said Willie Gay and Trent McDuffie were going to be out for an extended period of time, yeah, that would be really concerning for how good this defense is and really the – worst performance, quote-unquote worst performance, was against the Bucks, and they gave up 31 points in a game that they gave up 3 yards rushing. So, I mean, it's like, you know, take it with a grain of salt. It's relative in what worst means. But to this point, you know, you've got, you know, Tom Brady had his best game of the year. So, yeah, there's a lot of excitement for what this defense can be. and you go with game flow. You see, you know, the complimentary football, how you can go and win a game. And I would love to hear from Steve Spagnuolo what Friday we'll hear from him, and just know that, or ask, you know, how much of the game plan might have been adjusted. Like, did they adjust when the Chiefs offense was starting to really roll at, you know, from the beginning, but you had that feeling that, okay, this team's ready to go. This team is out here and they're playing and we're going to put up some points. As they get up, you know, 14-3, 21-3, you know, at that point, does Steve Spagnuolo change his game plan a little bit and say, you know, the Ravens lost to the Dolphins because they gave up quick scores, big plays, and not necessarily, I mean, some of those were easier touchdowns, but they didn't make Miami drive the length of the field with a longer sustained drive to score so that you would then minimize the amount of possessions they had. If last night, if it changes at all, the game plan that he had. I don't know. Maybe it was the exact same game plan and they would have put up 31 points last night if the Chiefs, only scored, 28. And they would have lost that game. Who knows? But I think that has to play into it, is when you see that happening. And as we said, the Chiefs gave up 3 points when that game was within three scores. The other 28 points happen when the Chiefs were up by at least three scores each and every time the Bucs scored. I mean, did Steve Spagnuolo change some things up? I don't know. Even if he didn't, I still think the defense was pretty good and enough.
You just heard Andy Reid say that, you know, Patrick Mahomes allows them to change what they're doing offensively. Yep. It stands to reason that Steve Spagnuolo is not going to pull out his double secret blitz package for Tom Brady if he thinks he might want to use that again in January because the offense is producing, the defense has done enough. Like, this is a Craig Stout question for sure. We might be due for him on Thursday. I'm not sure. I think we had Kent this Thursday, right? This is a Craig question, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he came on here on Thursday or whenever we talk to Craig next to say, yeah, Spags kind of got a little vanilla there in the second half. They were eating the Buccaneers alive whenever they were actually trying to score and trying to keep this game at a healthy distance. And then later on, as happened a couple of times, the defense, you know, let some stuff, and maybe offenses are just figuring things out as games go on. Who's to say? But wouldn't surprise me at all if you said, yeah, the defense was playing a little bit less hectically to go get the blood in the water because it was all full of blood in the water. I think I've made a very messy metaphor, but the Buccaneers were bleeding all over the place. There's a shipwreck. It was disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, just that offensive line, the wide, just a bunch of chum out there.
Just
go
chum. That's right.
And get it. Attack.
Did you see this Chris Jones stat, by the way, from this week? I guess this could be the best. Seth Walder tweeted out highest pass rush win rates at defensive tackle in week four so far. First of all, Tershawn Wharton tied for fifth in the NFL at a 25% pass rush win rate. That's spectacular. 25% is excellent. I'll give you Christian Wilkins in third, 29.4%. Great day. Shelby Harris at second place, 42.9%. Chris Jones, defensive tackle pass rush win rate per Seth Walder of ESPN Next Gen Stats. Chris Jones's pass rush win rate last night was a flat, even 50%.
Wow.
That can't be right. That is what I trust. I trust Seth Walder and his numbers immensely. 50% is nuts. That's crazy. I don't need to explain percentages, but that's winning as much as you lose as a pass rusher. As a pass rusher.
I'm looking here, and I'm seeing that Chris Jones had one tackle and one quarterback hit. Are you sure?
Did not affect the quarterback. Did not. Bum. Got to trade him. Got to cut him. Said too many naughty words last week. My theory is that he took all that naughty word power, that energy that he had, he internalized it, and he made him a superhero.
Yeah, and you know what? And he recovered the fumble. And so that was good. He reached down. He picked it up. He didn't just fall on it, but he did recover the fumble. Jerry Sneed got there, knocked it loose. And that was a big play because we were talking about, okay, this is a team that, what, at that point it was 14-3? Was it 14-3 at that point when it was the fourth and one and they didn't get it with the pass to Edwards-Helaire? And it was like, okay, well, here's a chance for this team to go. Or maybe it was 21-10. It was 21-10 at that time. And so it was, yep, okay, yep. They went down and scored.
Yes,
you now get stopped. So what happens if the, you know, Bucks go down and score right here? All of a sudden it's 21-17, and this is a different ball game, and you can feel momentum shifting. Nope. One play. All it took was one play, got the ball back. So, yeah, defense did enough, did their job in the game, and I think there's a lot of excitement around this team and the defense. And you're right, when Andy Reid says, yeah, it changes up, you know, depending on the opponent, and you weigh the things of what you want to show and what you want to use in different games. And against the Bucks, he said that they showed some of those plays, that, you know, they hold some things back. He said, but they used some of those plays, one of those being the fake screen MVS down the right sideline, which was a big gain as well. And that worked out perfectly. It was beautiful. He also schemed open Edwards-Helaire on the fourth down and short. He also schemed open, you know, Jerick McKinnon for a touchdown that Mahomes missed and overthrew him in the flat. And then the next play did his runaround spin flip to Edwards-Helaire. So I am happy that Mahomes missed Jerick McKinnon on that flat route. Thank goodness he did. Because if he didn't miss him, it's like, oh, McKinnon got the touchdown near the goal line. It was a great play design, and they score, and we would just be talking about it, one of 1,000 plays that Mahomes makes all the time and plays that are schemed up. Instead, he misses that, and then he goes and does what Mahomes does, which made it even that much more special. And we heard Edwards-Helaire, after the game was over last night, you know, describe it as just simply saying that, you know what, that's just Pat. And so we wanted to put something together in honor of Edwards-Helaire, and that's just Pat. So take a listen.
That's Pat, man.
A lot of people say, what's that? It's Pat.
And Kelce goes with Mahomes, who tried to get away from it, flips it out there, and it's complete to Juju Smith-Schuster for the first down.
A lot of people ask, who's he? It's Pat.
Mahomes rips it, and it's caught by Kelce for the first down in front of Carlton Davis.
That's Pat, man.
First down, deep shot down the middle of the field, brought in at the 15-yard line by Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
A lot of people ask, who's he? It's Pat.
Mahomes, he'll dance out to the left with some space to take off and lean forward for the 10-yard line and get the first down.
That's Pat, man.
A lot of people say, what's that? It's Pat.
Mahomes out of the pocket and on the run. Sky Moore inside the 10. Moore at the 5-yard line.
A lot of people ask, who's he? It's Pat.
Mahomes to the goal line and in for the touchdown, Jody Fortson. Everybody's getting into the end zone here tonight.
That's Pat, man.
A lot of people say, what's that? It's Pat.
You never know with these guys. From the 2, Mahomes escaping. On the move, Mahomes stops, spins, flips it forward for the touchdown to Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes straddled the line of scrimmage, flipped it to Edwards-Helaire for the score.
Here comes Pat.
That's Pat, man.
What are the odds that either you, Josh, or Beards know what that is from?
It's from an SNL skit that was turned into a movie.
Did you know that before we put that together, or did you find that out later on?
I knew that before it played just now.
Just now, after it played the first time in the 10 o'clock hour?
I Googled it the first time.
Good for you. Absolutely. Beards, do you have any idea what that was from before? Okay, great. Yeah, I'm glad so many of us in the 10 o'clock hour texted and, you know, tweeted about, you know, it's Pat. So I appreciate that. You hear it's Pat, you know, when Clyde Edwards-Helaire says it's Pat, that's Pat. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that is Pat.
Jason, you know? I hate to tell you here, but actually, he doesn't go by Pat. He goes by Patrick.
Yeah,
Pat's his dad.
When? Yeah, since when?
His mom hates that.
Yeah, I think they've talked about that publicly.
Oh, well, I guess my question would be then, why do all of his friends call him Pat?
He has friends?
His mom's not his friend?
He has a lot of friends. Well, I mean, Kelce says Pat, Edwards-Helaire just said Pat, Andy Reid calls him Pat. Everybody that talks about Patrick Mahomes,
we're not allowed to call him Pat.
Besides the media,
we're not allowed to call him Pat.
And the number of Chiefs fans that are watchdogs for anybody that might say Pat. Hey, it was Pat's his dad. He goes by Patrick.
That does sound like a cartoon dog, by the way. You nailed that.
Patrick calls him Patrick.
Who's that? You don't call me Pat. You don't call my Sleepy Pat. You don't call my Sleepy Pat.
Jason, really quick, is there anyone currently who can physically see you right now? Because I just hope somebody from 15 feet away just glanced out of the corner of their eye and just got to see whatever you were doing for the last 30 seconds.
Nobody that doesn't know me already. Nobody that would be surprised.
Did
by,
Dylan get to witness that? Is he still out there? Somebody,
Dylan's sitting. That would be the one who is not surprised. Doesn't know me already. So Dylan's sitting right here. Didn't flinch. Didn't flinch. Just sat right through that.
just 1,000-yard stare into the middle That's distance, right. just thinking right. only 45 more minutes, and then I get to leave.
I would like people to like start like at tweeting Edward Dallaire.
You know his name is Patrick.
And then like at Killatrav.
His name is Patrick.
But your
You're
avatar,
calling him Pat, but his name is Patrick.
Your avatar has to be the cartoon bulldog from Tom and Jerry, like that, because that's the voice that we've assigned to you. So those are the rules. Sorry,
that's perfectly fine. But you have to then, and you know, Juju.
Nobody calls him Pat. It's Patrick. When you talk about him, Pat throwing you the ball, are you talking about his dad pitching? Or are you talking about the quarterback number 15?
What is this?
Because
dog's
his dad
name?
Goes like Pat.
Spike. Spike, also Butch, also Killer. I mean, really, you know, the continuity wasn't the best part of Tom and Jerry.
Like the well, he goes by many names, just like Patrick, Pat, LeVon, PM2, QB1.
Showtime.
Showtime. Ah, Showtime. Remember that was going on for a while?
I'm glad we got away from that.
Was that his rookie year, or not rookie year, obviously, but was that a 2018 or was that 2019? When did Showtime
get
rolling?
That was the first year, I think.
That was whenever he, I think that was MVP campaign / can we give this guy a nickname? And the answer was that you probably shouldn't force a nickname on anybody. Just let it happen, you know?
Was anybody else calling him Showtime besides Tessitore?
ESPN.
Yeah, it felt, it was just,
I mean, like, it was Monday Night Football where Tessitore just goes, Showtime! Mahomes is Showtime! It's like, I've never heard anybody call him Show. Maybe I'm just completely out of it, and I've missed the first, you know, month or so of people calling him Showtime. But all of a sudden, Joe Tessitore, like every other play, now granted the left-handed pass and all of that stuff was Showtime, but it just was like, oh, is his name Showtime? Okay, I guess. You know, I prefer HBO now, but, you know, Cinemax is fine. Stars, you know, he's one of those guys. What of it? Why not Hulu?
Hey, I hate to correct you, but actually, whenever it's a throw by number 15, it's actually a pass trick, just for future reference.
I like that. I like that. Because he goes by pass trick, not past.
Just in case his mom's listening. Hello, Mrs. Mahomes. I'm trying to keep Jason in line. I appreciate you listening.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Do you think when his mom is around the team, she has like a sit down one-on-one intervention with Andy Reid about coach? His name is Patrick.
That's basically what I think my mom does. Like my longstanding rule is just like family mostly calls me Joshua, but everybody else calls me Josh. And so like the couple of like all of my written stuff says Joshua, but the couple of times where you've been like Jason Anderson here, Joshua Briscoe and Beards, I'm always like, ooh, ew, who gave you permission to say those last two vowels in my first name? You don't know me like that. But
you can't talk about my loser uncle. I can talk about my loser uncle.
Is that a reference? It sounded like a reference.
No, I just okay. Just in general, that's right. How families work.
I'm trying to guess from here to try to see if I can sniff out the references before you get disappointed in me, which is sort of like a reference to my family again, just being disappointed in me in advance.
That's right. No, they're disappointed in Joshua. We're fine with Joshua.
That's right. Actually, that's a good point. Maybe you just start calling me Joshua whenever you're disappointed in me, which will proceed to be pretty much all the time. Therefore, Pat, Patrick, etc. Full circle.
How often was your full name used?
I wasn't a huge full name, like, yelled at kid, as far as I can remember. I was the first child, so I might have gotten the extra patience, you know, the extra babying or whatever. So I imagine my full first name being used was sort of a Joshua, you know, a real three-syllable experience, but I didn't get a lot of Joshua Bradley! That was not a regular in my childhood.
Yeah, the first one, the spoiled child, shocker. That explains a lot. See, I was the fourth of four kids, and
also explains a lot.
I would get the first three names first.
Mandy, Jason. Yes. You called the entire family. Yes.
You must have been looking for me.
Yes. Hello. I prefer Jason.
It's actually Pastor Jason.
It's actually I would rather you call me Patrick. So that's my dad goes by Jason.
That's right.
He didn't.
You're more of a Jace. You know, we go Jace for you. A little Jass.
I've been called Jace by one person, and that's my aunt that calls me
All
Jace.
All right, we'll make it two, Jace.
Only that's weird. I don't know why. I've never been called that before. It's fine. No big deal.
Got a Jace up our sleeve here, huh? Jason the Hole. Let's start calling you Jason the Hole.
Jason the Hole. Would that have been my mob nickname?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you put people in the dirt.
Okay.
You're good at cards. Yeah, Jason the Hole.
That's okay. Yeah. Jason the Hole. Come see you. Okay. Another quail. Shit, I'm in the morning. That's the right Jason the Hole.
It's also what we have to dig out of every day.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm in the hole. You're the one that put me here. So, in said hole. Do we want to do Learn Funniest Best on the other side?
I was trying to feed Beards a Mizzou joke. He wasn't following me. It was, we had a whole thing.
I could hear your mic
cutting
off.
Damn it!
I could hear it cutting out, and I'm like, so part of me was like, am I dropping? But no. We've got a pretty secure, knock on wood, we've got a pretty secure line here. When that sound goes away, is Beards turning on his mic, or was Beards' mic turned on while we were talking and he turned his mic off? Like, all of those things are going through my mind when I'm hearing the mic turn off. But I appreciate that you having to feed Beards Mizzou jokes because you've got nothing better to do today.
I mean, it's a team sport, you know. I just thought something about you digging out of a hole, and I just hit the talk back button to Beards. I went, make a Mizzou joke. He looked back at me and went, what?
Make a Mizzou joke.
Make a Mizzou on Saturday.
Dance, monkey.
Dig it out of a hole. Come on, man.
Tell a joke, comedian. Come on. You're a funny guy. You're a funny guy, huh? I saw you on stage that one time. Tell a joke. Hey, this guy's really funny. Come over here. Hey, tell him a joke. Show him how funny you are. Go. Funny. Hey, magician, do a trick right here. Huh? Make a card disappear.
You know what was the joke on Saturday?
What, Matt Campbell's stones or lack thereof on fourth and... I'm just going to let my kicker kick it. Nothing can go wrong here. It's not like he's missed everything today. Nah, I'm not going to pick up 1 yard or half of that. I'll just rely on my kicker.
You think
that was a joke? That was funny.
You think
Josh?
You think Iowa State? You think Iowa State was kind of a paper tiger?
No, I think they were more of a dying cyclone. So no, I don't. I don't think paper tiger has anything to do with what happened between the Jayhawks and the Cyclones. Thank you very much.
Mm. Paper things have a way of going up in flames in the blink of an eye. I just thought that it might be an apt comparison, but I mean, if you don't think so, that's fine.
Yeah, it'll be the football program when Lance Leipold signs on the paper, the contract, that contract goes up in flames of what it could have been. That's cool, though. The game day's there this week, and that'll be fun for you, Beards.
No, that will be fun. And
you and the rest of the KU fans realizing there's a football program there in Lawrence. So good for you, Beards. Good for you.
No, thanks.
It's okay. Talk that talk.
Listen, it's weird that it took him this long to actually make a football program, but, you know.
I know.
Yeah.
Build it up.
Hey, it's a good first season for him.
You know what? It feels like it.
And look, man, we've mostly texted about this in private, so I hate to bring this business public, but I really do think Scott Frost is going to be the guy to turn that Mizzou program around. I think you're in good hands.
No, I don't think it's Scott Frost. I'm thinking maybe they should go the route of Charlie Weiss.
That could do it for sure. That would be.
Yeah.
Listen, I've got his phone number. We could call him.
Do you think Charlie Weiss would work? What about Les Miles?
He won a championship. That, yeah, absolutely.
Should we talk about Les Miles going somewhere? I don't know. Maybe we go get a different Buffalo coach. Who's the next Buffalo coach? No, the crappy one, not the good one.
Eli Drinkwitz.
Let's go get another one. No, he was at App State.
He's going to be the next Buffalo coach.
Oh, well, good for him, man. Hope it works out for him. Is he still going to be recruiting St. Louis? I don't know. We'll find out. You know, this is a Chiefs day. You know?
Chiefly disappointing day for you.
Yeah. And I like how losing to the best team in the country by four is somehow laughable to you guys. I do find that interesting.
No, I mean, like we always say, man, it's all about covering the spread. And Mizzou did that, and that's really that's really important.
By three touchdowns and 3 2-point conversions.
Yep.
They covered the spread. Yep. That's how good they were.
Right there.
That night.
Right there at the end. And this, real quick, everybody, hold on one second. Hold on.
If only Iowa State was out there on the field, maybe they would have won the game.
Hold on one second. Just real quick, just to kind of protect you. The text line, everything here. Hold on. This is our mandatory Kansas State football mention. I wanted to make sure, because they're good, but they're like good in kind of a normal way, so it's easy to gloss over like being kind of normal and good and like ranked as expected. So K-State isn't the butt of the joke or the headline of the fun just because that's kind of how things worked out. It's not because we hate Manhattan, Kansas or anything. Just so everybody, I just want the K-State fans to know.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that because last week we were clowning the Big 12 and talking about how good of a game Kansas State and Texas Tech is, and that should be nationally televised. And somehow that was twisted to me making fun of K-State.
Can you just say, really quick?
It was just interesting how that happened. But,
I want to protect you and your own interests. Can you say something positive about K-State football? Just let you believe without like sarcasm or anything.
I do it all the time. I did it all off season.
One example of it now.
I did it before the season. Yeah, they are really good as expected.
Come on, man. I said serious. Don't hit the button.
That is serious.
Well, yeah, but you made it sound less serious when you made that big Family Feud missed answer sound effect. It really undercut your point.
You did that. I'm on location. How do I have a buzzer next to me?
I mean, it buzzed when you said that I did it.
You're on video.
I don't think there's going to be any evidence of any of that.
Sure. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk about the things that we learned, what was funniest, and what was best from the weekend. I think Beards will probably have the same thing for Learn Funniest Best. Isn't that funny? Your team is ranked in the top 20, yet you still care about the team east of the state line. Boy, I mean, rent-free, Beards. Rent-free. Missouri fans are going to have to evict you eventually because you've just been living there rent-free for a long time. More Zone next.
You're in the zone.
And there are guys you feel up. You feel like are going to be are there guys you
with Jason Anderson.
Boy, that's an unfortunate slip up
on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, Blue Hills Country Club, our location today for the kids, KC.org is the website, the foundation for the kids, F-O-R-E, the kids, KC.org. They've got the silent auction going on today, right now, at forthekidskc.org. You can go check out all the cool items and place a bid. You can also see how you can donate and just simply give back the money, almost $6 million that they have raised to give to Children's Mercy throughout the years and going to that anxiety and depression clinic there at Children's Mercy. All of the money that is raised today, the proceeds go there. They also have their the big dinner tonight, which you can also purchase tickets at forthekidskc.org to attend that. Well, they'll have other auction items and Bill Self in attendance and other members of the national championship team. If you're just joining us, some news from the Denver Broncos, and that is Javonte Williams not only suffered a knee injury, he suffered what seems to be a pretty devastating knee injury, and he's certainly out for the year. We'll see how long he's out, but a number that I just saw retweeted by Benjamin Albright, multi-ligament knee injuries are devastating. Research shows return to play rate is 64% for NFL players, but return to pre-injury level is just 30% for those that suffer a multi-ligament knee injury. Mm. And that is Javonte Williams, who is a fantastic player for the Broncos, that is out for the year, and we'll see how much longer he is out for. I have not seen, nor have I looked in the last hour, so I probably should have looked, but I hadn't seen anything on Randy Gregory at this point. And now I'm just looking through here. I mean, no, I don't see an update on Randy Gregory for his MRI. He left yesterday's game, and it was feared that it was going to be some sort of a knee injury with him. And it was just the seriousness to Randy Gregory. If the Broncos lose the game to the Raiders and lose Javonte Williams and Randy Gregory in the same day, would be pretty devastating. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. 913-912-4810. Let's get into Learn Funniest Best, what we learned from the weekend, the funniest from the weekend, and the best from the weekend. I have a feeling what Beards and Briscoes will be, but I'll try to change it up a little bit for you guys. So what I learned this weekend was that did you guys see that Joey Gallo got his third sack fly this weekend?
No.
Baseball still going on?
His third sack fly
in his career?
That's what I thought. Unbelievable.
Joey Gallo recorded the third sacrifice fly of his career. I thought it was a typo. I thought somebody was going to say of this game, and they said of his career, and I'm not sure how somebody who has hit almost 200 home runs in his career and has a
2,300 at bats.
2,300 at bats, 200 home runs, almost 200 home runs, almost 400 RBIs, and he's got three sacrifice flies. How has there not been a man at third? And I know he's a guy that strikes out and all that, but three in his entire career sacrifice flies? Like, that was astonishing to me, shocking. And that's what I learned this weekend, is that he recorded just his third sack fly of his career.
2,800 plate appearances for Joey Gallo, three sack flies. Truly remarkable.
You know what? Now I got to look it up. How many sack – sorry, Nikki. How many sack flies did Nikki Lopez have? I've got to do it. Sorry.
I bet it's more than three.
I don't know. I'm about to find out. I'm going to tell you. Okay, looking it up. He's got four sack flies. Nikki Lopez has four sacrifice flies. Joey Gallo has three.
176 career home runs, three career sacrifice flies.
Man, you know what the issue is there? People need to get on base in front of him, at least a third with less than two outs. Plenty of fly balls he hits. All right, what'd you learn, Josh?
I learned that the fishing world has been turned on its head. Are you familiar with this story?
First chess, now fishing?
That was my best. Oh. That was going to be my best.
I almost tweeted this or texted this to you guys like Friday afternoon, whenever it was that it began to break, so I could call it in advance. A good summary here from the SB Nation story, but I've been following this story for days now. Here's how SB Nation wraps it up. A fishing tournament in Ohio that was set to award $29,000 to two winning anglers was torn apart by a cheating scandal. A heavier than expected catch led to inspection by officials at the Lake Erie Walleye Trail, and they were stunned to find that weights and loose fish fillets, not McDonald's ones, you know, like actual fish fillets, had been stuffed inside the fish. They began to get skeptical of the weights. They started slicing the fish open, pouring out metal, I guess lead weights potentially, fillets of fish. Inside, this crew, this duo that has been so clearly caught, I don't know what, red mackerel? Is that a real fish? Red mackerel handed?
Yes.
This group has won recently, has won a lot, and has now totally turned the world of fishing. Belly up, some would say. Fishing, chess, poker as well. The cheating scandals are tremendous around the fringe sports right now, but this one here in fishing, truly a crappie deal.
Okay, well, I was going to...
Hey, Josh, you know, get that buzzer out real quick for me? The other one's in the office. Would you just hit that right into the microphone, please?
Yeah, do you want me to mull it over first, or...?
No, just go ahead and do it.
Thank you.
Maybe maybe those that are running these tournaments should have had their walleye on these guys. Oh, sorry.
You piece of carp.
You know what? Next time these guys are going and winning, why don't you just reel them in a little bit?
Bass.
Cast those guys right out of the sport.
That's what I learned this weekend.
By the way, have you seen the videos?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's where it all started for me. The videos are wild.
I was thinking, like, I was trying to figure out a way, like, could we play the sound? But we can't play the sound.
No.
We can't play the sound. You just have to go, because every word is a curse word, because all of the fishermen in this tournament just start surrounding him. You, Mirabar, you, Mirabar, just for, like, 3 minutes straight, just screaming and yelling at him, because, like you just said, $29,000. Can you imagine if you finished second place or third place or whatever?
Jason.
They – They won $100,000 last year.
They've won over $300,000 in fishing competitions in the Ohio area, per the SB Nation story. $300,000! Who knows how long they've been doing this?
So do they open up like a criminal complaint? Is that fraud? Because they're stealing the money.
I think it has to be.
I have no, like, if you could just do that for a few years and then put in weights and then win all this money, and then it's like, oh, yep, you got me. Sorry about that. Cool. I appreciate the house that I have now because of this. You guys have a good day. Enjoy the fishing tournaments. And, you know, you don't go to jail or face any repercussions. And,
yeah.
Oh, I guess I'm not of the integrity of the fishing world, that it seems like that would be a nice way to make money. But obviously in the fishing world, these guys' entire reputation, all of their sponsors and everything that they would probably make money off of, because their jackets were filled with a lot of different company names.
Yes, they look like NASCAR drivers.
Yes, absolutely. But, I mean, the guy who was running the tournament in the video, as he opens it up and he goes, "We've got weights and fishes," and he looks at him, and it was like a half punch, half like, umpire in baseball.
Yes.
Get the hell out of here.
He threw him out. It was incredible.
He threw him out. It was unbelievable, man.
There have to be criminal charges here due to the money involved, the sponsorship involved. You simply cannot catch and release these guys.
Also, they should be smarter about it, because the second place that they had to beat was like 16 pounds and theirs was 33.
Just cheat better, man. Unbelievable.
What are you doing? 33. You got to beat 16. Let's see. 33. And the crowd immediately was like, these motherfuckers. I mean, that's bullshit, blah, blah, blah. So people have been wondering about it for a long time, apparently, in the fishing world. They've suspected these guys have been cheating. So it took this long for somebody just to cut open a fish and see weights? Unbelievable. And an actual fillet of a different fish stuffed down in there.
Incredible.
Like they put a fish in a fish.
Yeah, that's my favorite. It's just totally floundering around out there. Beards, what'd you learn?
I learned I hate Josh.
You didn't learn that. That's
no,
not
that's
new.
True. So through three games, Geno Smith has thrown a better completion percentage, more yards, and more touchdowns than Russell Wilson.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Let's ride.
That's right.
That's what I learned.
That's incredible.
And they have like almost the exact same number of pass attempts as well. They're off by like one, and Geno has thrown 20 more completions at least.
Amazing. What was your funniest from the weekend, Josh?
It is the Andy Reid State Farm commercial. I was absolutely blown away watching it in real time. There is room to navigate the intricacies of this whole thing. We could do a frame by, you know what, I actually want to do this now. See if we can make a video of me doing like a telestrator sort of thing for the Andy Reid commercial. He opens up confident, you know, addressing Jake from State Farm. Very believable. Good acting all the way around. Actively drawing on the face of this guy next to him. But really, the key moment, as Jake begins to explain that you don't need to give all these personal details for the personal price, whatever plan from State Farm, then Patrick Mahomes makes his cameo. The expression on Andy Reid's face and then the total just chucking of the Sharpie. Good direction, good acting, good writing, just a perfectly executed commercial by Andy Reid, State Farm, Patrick Mahomes, Jake, the whole group.
I thought he delivered the, I'm going to get to the bottom of this line really well.
Expertly.
As well.
Expertly.
Absolutely. Beards, funniest for you?
If you were watching football yesterday, you might have seen DK Metcalf get carted off of the field. rest assured, it is not due to injury. He just had to go to the bathroom. He even tweeted about that later. He said that clinch walk wouldn't have made it.
It's amazing.
You know who could have really used getting carted off so that they didn't poop themselves over the weekend? Mizzou.
Oh, I was waiting for that one. I was shocked that you didn't get there earlier. Interesting.
This was my funniest planned ahead of time. Just adding in the Mizzou thing was last minute. It was great.
No, that's good. Very, very clever of you.
I do think it is rude that we are making Mizzou a punchline after their biggest win of the season.
I think it's funny that you're making Mizzou a punchline when there's been an irrelevant state of that for so long in that area. But that's fine. See, here's the thing. I don't want a rivalry. So I know you want a rivalry, Beards, because you can finally be a part of it finally, which is cool. Good for you. I just don't want to do it.
Sort of like how the rest of the SEC feels about Mizzou.
Yeah. Oh, do they? Because I'm pretty sure. Can you name the teams in the SEC that have never won their division? Because Mizzou ain't one of them.
I don't think most people would have mentioned Mizzou because I think they would have forgotten they're in the SEC.
No, they would remember because they played in two championship games. You know who's never played in an SEC championship game? Kentucky.
Or Kansas, for that matter. That's what I thought you were going to say. And you're going to have me there. I mean, checkmate. KU and K-State have never played in an SEC championship game. You're 100% right.
KU's also never played in a conference championship game, so that's fine. Maybe they'll get there this year.
Hey, Jason, what was your funniest from the weekend?
My funniest is Beards getting annoyed that I'm not going to break when he extended the segment by his own little joke there.
Well, in fairness, it was your reaction to the joke that I really, yeah.
No, it's really my reaction to the 50th joke. The first couple, it's like, all right, you know. Then as it starts to build and build and build throughout the hours, it's like, all right, enough. I get it. You had a fun weekend. You beat a coach that the shine is now off of him. And, you know, he decides that kicking a field goal on 4th and 1 is the best move. That's great. Lance Leipold is awesome. Happy for KU fans. Good for them. Happy for K-State fans. Good for them. I thought Missouri played a really good game. Good for them. I'd like him to show up and play that way more often. I never thought they were going to win. It'd be cool if they did, but they're not winning a national championship this year or anytime soon or ever, just like the other schools west of the state line. My funniest this weekend was, besides the living rent-free in Mizzou fans' heads for KU fans, or excuse me, Beards.
Yeah.
My funniest was, besides the DK Metcalf, because I had that written down, Garrett Bowles and his
Excellent.
Hustle an attempt to tackle after the scoop and score for the Broncos Raiders when the Raiders player was at the 5-yard line and Garrett Bowles was at the, I think, the 12, and Garrett Bowles then dove after running full speed and then dove and landed shockingly about 8 yards short of touching the Raiders player. That was my funniest, along with DK Metcalf, along with a few others. Oh, hey, we still have our best from the weekend. Beards, I don't know if we're behind or anything, but what was your best?
Don't worry, we'll be good. My best from the weekend, don't worry, Jason, this is nothing about you. The Phoenix Suns over the weekend lost to the Adelaide 36ers,
yeah.
A team from Australia.
Mm-hmm. See, Beards, 3D chess, trying to tank the value of the franchise before Robert Sarver sells it so he gets less money in the sale. 3D thinking, man. You gotta be 7 steps ahead. And right now, the Suns throwing a game to an Australian team. It's taking money out of Robert Sarver's pocket.
It's a great move.
Thank
it's a
you.
Great move. My best was the fishing tournament, so that's already been talked about. What was your best?
I saw last night this Skip Bayless tweet was going around that
oh
was
God,
very
yeah.
funny in the all the conversations we had this offseason and everything. An old tweet from Skip Bayless said, "You can get away with the way Mahomes plays quarterback only for so long. Poor footwork, flat-footed sidearm fling, interception." And so I thought that was getting recirculated in maybe he tweeted that in early 2018 or something. He tweeted that at 10:14 p.m. local time last night. It is the year 2022, and we're still talking about how Patrick Mahomes can't keep getting away with this. Skip Bayless can't keep getting away with this. Well, yeah, there has to be an intervention, man. Somebody get Skip Bayless LASIK. I will pay for it. We will figure it out. We have some spawn. We can make this happen. We got to fix that man's eyes. Something terribly wrong is happening in the Bayless household.
He knows what the deal is. It's performance art.
Yes.
It is playing a role. He's playing a character. He does the same thing with LeBron. Congratulations, Patrick Mahomes. You are now in Skip Bayless's mind the greatest basketball player the greatest football player that ever lived.
Maybe both.
He's got the LeBron treatment now.
He really does. Huh? He really does. That really is what it is. And
it's performance art. That's all.
And sometimes some good art demands its recognition. And Skip Bayless occasionally, man. He's Mozart out there, like Andy Reid would say.
Yeah, or Houdini sometimes, like Travis Kelce would say about Patrick Mahomes. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap things up here at Blue Hills Country Club. A little bit of Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Got 18 reps in the bench.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, that'll do it here on a Zone on this Monday edition. You know, the Chiefs won over the weekend. 41-31 last night. They get ready for the Raiders Monday night, returning home. Getting back into the AFC West, which is just a different animal than we thought it would be 4 weeks into the season, mainly because of some of the injuries that have taken place. So,
and because of teams other than the Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Because of the injuries and the Raiders starting 0-3 and their losses, the Broncos
and Russell Wilson kind of just looking like an okay quarterback. And the Chargers doing what the Chargers do, winning the offseason and then losing the battle of attrition. That's what they do. ForTheKidsKC.org, F-O-R-E, TheKidsKC.org. Go and check that out. See how you can give back to Children's Mercy like they do.